Okay, hello? Starting? All right. Been a while since we've been back. Apologize for the break, but 4th of July and other holidays. So, I thought today we would have to finally review something. And I was given the task. Okay, let's talk about something not controversial at all. The Last of Us 2. Okay. Yep. I've finished it, and I have a lot of thoughts, so I decided to add my 2 cents in here. Is that okay? Yes? Alright. I think we should go. I'll start. Alright. One disclaimer. Not paid by anybody. So, I have no stake in this fight. This is a very controversial game, apparently. And I'm not really emotionally invested in either side. So, once I get the election, I'm going third party. Okay, let's actually just break through this whole game down. And I'll walk you through what I was thinking. Okay, I'm also going to assume you've played the first game. You should. Really good. One of the best games of the decade. Last decade, anyway, but. Alright. We open up with the main character here. Well, Joel and Tommy. And they give Ellie a guitar. And, yes, this game does let you play acoustic guitar. And that's actually a cool little thing, actually. Each chord is a corresponding button. I like doing that. But we created a few songs. I should not have done that. But that's not really much of this game. Because then they jump 4 years later. And now we get to see teenage Ellie. And Dinah. So, Dinah and Jesse, someone else, are only an ex-couple, so we're living in Jackson. And this is where I first want to say, this game looks great. They did very well. I know they were overworked heavily and brutally, but that is something to rightfully criticize Naughty Dog for doing. But I do believe that this game does look great, and they deserve all the credit for that. So, and the controls are fine. They didn't really change much, given it's been about 7 years. That's something of a nick against it. You can jump now, so it's a jump button. That's about it. Combat is similar. Anyway, in Jackson, we get to my first little problem here. Apparently, Jackson has, I don't know why, post-apocalyptic world. People still care who dates who, but apparently someone has issues with Ellie and Dinah flirting. I don't know why that matters anymore. That feels oddly pandering. I don't really care about Ellie and Dinah being a concept that could exist. So, come on guys, get up. 2020. Not 2015 anymore. And we get to see Joel again. Apparently him and Ellie aren't on great terms. So, I guess I assume that Ellie either figured it out or Joel told her. about what happened. This hooked me. I like this a lot. So I have a little problem with how Jackson's portrayed, but mostly I'm liking this game so far. But it's just started. And then we introduce Abby and Owen, who are part of the Washington Liberation Front, or Wolves, whatever you want to call them. Apparently, Abby and Owen are a couple, and they're in Jackson looking for somebody. I assume that this was Joel right off the bat, because who else could it be? So, anyway, you don't really... Okay, the first true, actual, playable level, you're Ellie and Dinah. And this is good. I like these two actresses and characters. So far, I'm liking them a lot, actually. Teenage Ellie is about what I expected her to be. And I do want... I just don't... But I'm going to say things that are nice and not nice about this game, but I don't want to condemn any acting here. All the acting is pretty great. The fighting, on the other hand, is fine. This isn't really a zombie game much anymore. I mean, there are a few clickers here, but that's about it. And then you switch back to Abby. And then she meets Joel, who just happens to be there. And they just happen to help her. And then she offers them sanctuary, and they just take it. Does that match up with what we know about what Joel? I guess he's been softened by. I guess family life has softened him, and I guess that's the excuse they're going to run with for what happens next. Okay. Now the first big twist of the game. Which, so far I saw this coming. Abby turns on Joel. They blast his leg. And then Ellie's there. And they force her to watch as, you know, Abby goes full Tiger Woods on Joel, and they kill him off right in the very beginning of the game. Alright. This is a bold decision. Now, did I expect this? Yes. I now am realizing they lied in the trailer. Kind of underhanded. But they did kill him. Abby kills him, we watch. He does have a nice little... He does have a good send-off. There's this, you know, say whatever speech you got rehearsed and get it over with. I like that. And then he's dead. So, how do I feel about that? I was expecting it. I wasn't expecting it this early, but I was expecting it to happen because Joel's arc is kind of over. So they essentially fridged him. In case you don't know what fridging is, that's when they kill a character, usually a female character, to advance the male character's storyline. This time they gender flipped it. Yay, equality, I guess. Both now every gender can have lazy storylines. So they fridge Joel. How do I feel about that? I'm going to be pretty forgiving with this. I'll give this to them. I'm going to give them this mulligan. If this is what's going to happen, okay. So this game, I'm assuming now, is going to be all about Ellie. And for some reason, they leave them alive. I don't know why. Don't they think they would get revenge? I know thematically there's a reason, but why they leave them alive in the story is kind of does never explored or explained. It kind of doesn't make sense. But anyway, they do leave them alive. So they plan to, you know, hunt them down. Okay, so for some reason Tommy isn't there, so he runs away. So it's just Ellie. Now we get to see post-apocalyptic Seattle. It looks good, actually. For those who've been to Seattle, you could point out any location inaccuracies, but it looks bombed out in ruins, just like present-day Seattle. So that's interesting. And Dinah comes here. Then we get into a puzzle. A strange game puzzle, because I don't know, they have to open a generator. I mean, they need a generator to open a door. I guess for some reason people just happen to write down all the passwords and notes. Okay, that's whatever. I'm giving it that. I'll give that to him too. So now I'm downtown Seattle. It's not bad. This is a good roam around spot. And roaming around is pretty good. I would just take this in. This is nice. And then the gas quest is kind of dumb, but we get to find out that Dinah's Jewish. Okay. And we get a bit about her backstory. Her sister's killed by another militia group. I sense that's going to be something with part 3, if this ever happens. So one of the big premises of this game is that everyone has a backstory. Everyone has a family, a life, and that's going to make you feel it. You have to fight them. You do have to fight them. You don't have any control over that. So I guess it's just supposed to make you feel bad. So it's emotionally manipulative. Brazenly. At the end, I'm going to compare this to another game. But just keep that in mind. It didn't bother me too much, because I know it's a video game. So those attempts didn't really ring through to me. But okay. It's an interesting touch. I should mind this game's pretty bloody. Pretty violent. They don't shy away from the M rating. So we actually end up in open theater. That's not bad. Get to explore it a little bit. Standard, you know, Walking Dead, 28 Days Later, roaming around, bombed out city. That's not that much new. But then we get something that's kind of cheap. The first flashback. In which case, Joel teaches Ellie how to swim. They're doing that. And Joe, they take you to a museum. A dinosaur museum. And it's very, supposed to be very wholesome. And even though they already killed Joel, this just rings like more emotional manipulation. Like, feel bad about this. So, I mean, it might work for you. That's okay, but Flipping back to present day. Dinah is apparently pregnant. So, with Jesse's child, which was another character who apparently has no real role in this story. So, Ellie gets to go off on her own. When do they flashback it? Okay, that's, the pacing scheme is bad. I'm just going to straight up say bad. They undercut a lot with their flashbacks, and they put a lot of them in here. They're in very strange places. That feels like two games. I'm sure you've heard this complaint already. I feel like two games spliced together. Anyway, in the flashback, Ellie plays some guitar, uses a rifle, and then they go off to find some guitar strings. And then you get to see some of that tension between Joel and Ellie, which we should already know why it's there, but they're not telling us yet. Okay. Then they flip back to present day. You get to meet a new enemy. Seraphites. One of the few new enemies in this game. There are some level 6 infected, and that's actually a nice touch. They should have focused more on that, actually, but... Well, anyway, the Seraphites have a turf war with the WLF, and that doesn't really ever play much into this. It's just another militia group. Anyway, so Ellie finds a way to a hospital. She sees another member of the WLF, Nora, and Nora gets infected. So you could torture her. And yes, they make you torture people. Okay. Grand Theft Auto did that too. Spec Ops the Line did this as well. And I'll bring that game up again, but you torture another flashback. In which they finally give you the confrontation. Joel confesses what he did. And then now we know why there's a fractured relationship between them. But anyway, Nora spills. Ellie's finally found out that the killer is in the aquarium. And then Jesse pops back in here. You get to go to the aquarium, and that requires a motorboat. And this is a pretty good segment, actually. I'm gonna give a lot of props to this boat scene. I'm sorry, I'm saying scene, like, this game is trying to be very cinematic, so, but this level, I like this part, actually, quite a bit. The entire aquarium section. Of course, then she encounters Owen and Mel and offs them both. And they're, yes, so they do make you kill a pregnant woman and unborn baby. In case you don't get it, revenge is bad. So that's what this game is doing. I'll say that for my final thoughts, but. Anyway, Ellie, Dinah, Jesse, and Tommy are there. They all reunite. They go back to Jackson. Then Abby comes, kills Jesse, and forces Ellie to get rid of the gun, and then doesn't kill them for some reason. This is hard to justify because if you're Abby, you know they're coming to take revenge for you. You've seen them kill Owen and Mel, and yet you don't kill them. Why? We know why, but so the game would actually end right here. But for some reason, you're done. And then, another flashback. And then, they make you the second big twist of this game. They make you play as Abby. You get some more emotional manipulation. See Abby with her family. We see Owen and Abby's childhood sweetheart. And then the Abby section of this game. Apparently she's very well built, hitting the gym. And then we get to meet her in the WLF. And it's okay. I mean, there's some obvious emotional manipulation. Again, you have the dog. And okay, I'm going to be honest here. The Plague's Abby sections aren't as good as Ellie's. They're not that great. I mean, they're fine, but I don't know if that was intentional. Her section of the game is okay, and it's, I'll say average. Anyway, here's the whole crux of this game. Apparently, this is going to force you to empathize with the quote-unquote villain. It creates this world of gray, which we've seen before in games. What's the point? Everyone to Metal Gear Solid 3, which I think does a better job of this, to be honest. But I know that I see what they're doing now. I think I figured out the whole plot, except for what happened at the very end. Yeah, as Manny, another character, Mel and Alice, who's the dog, get ambushed. Off, and then you meet the top brass of the WLF. And apparently, they think Owen killed one of them. And there's another flashback. Yeah. 4 years earlier, we learn Abby's afraid of heights. Get it? She's a person. Then they cut back to the present time, where they talk about another Firefly regroup in Santa Barbara. Which I guess the game is telling you that I think it's supposed to tell you Owen is a bad person and this is some toxic relationship with Abby. So, see? More sympathize with her. More. Demand you sympathize with her. I know some people are calling this brilliant, but this seems really sophomoric at this time. But they do fix this later in the game, so we'll get there. So, Abby gets captured by some group, and this group is apparently some sort of weird religious cult, but she gets rescued by Yara. So, if you wonder who Yara is, her arm gets smashed with a hammer. And then, before they're about to be killed, someone rescues them with arrows. That person is Lev, Yara's younger brother. Anyway, they work together, they escape the Seraphites, fight through the infected. And then Abby goes back to rescue Ara, tries to find them a safe place to stay, and they head back to the aquarium. So Abby finds Yara, who apparently suffering from some broken bone. And apparently Yara's medical supplies are needed. So, we get this little fetch quest. You go there to take supplies off Seraphites. And this time, She's apprehended, the deserter, but Nora helps her escape. They make their way to the hospital. Anyway, WLF is apparently going to assault the entire island. So, Abby, Lev, team up. And they... try to escape. They make their way down an apartment building. They clear the floors. And... they reach the hospital. They get to Nora. They go to more floors. And then you meet Ground Zero. This was the place where the first infected came, apparently. This is where we get to meet our Stage 6 infected. And it's a, this is a good fight, actually. Probably the best part of playing this section. You know, the most of her Abby's stalled to get through, but I'm going to shout out this. It was a very well done set piece here. Anyway, they beat it, and they go back to the aquarium, and they successfully amputate Yara's arm. And then that love triangle goes away. Abby, Owen, and Mel. She didn't need to be there in the first place. But at this point in the game, Lev steals a boat and goes back to the island for revenge. See a theme here? Revenge is bad. Abby and Yara try to stop him, but they get caught up in a battle. And then her and Manny get to fight through some more people. Manny gets taken out. Then Abby gets to take out the sniper, who's Tommy. Yep. But don't worry, Tanya comes back, but... yeah, she falls into the water. Abby and Yara then head to the island to get Lev. And here you get to learn some stuff about the Seraphites. So apparently this is a religious cult, ultra-conservative Christian cult or something. And once again, it's 2020, not 2015. This is a very dated enemy. I think cults are very relevant right now, but we've done this Westboro ripoff many times now. So, that's a bit lazy. I'm just going to say it. It is. But anyway, yeah, they're in a religious cult, and Bubba, a conservative Christian cult, is bad, which we all know. Because, you know. Guess. And then Lev, here's where we find out something else about Lev. Lev was born as Lily, and was assigned to be the wife of a high-ranking member of the Order. Lev rejected this idea, and then was declared an apostate. So, get it? The commentary here is... that's subtle. It didn't bother me, though. I mean, even if it is dated a little bit. Though I do appreciate they actually went with a man this time. We don't see that often. We don't see much, period. But of what we see, it's usually male to female. But here they did female to male. I'm going to give them a little shout out for that. Especially since people like Halle Berry and Scarlett Johansson don't get it, but okay. Now they escape. And this is not kind of tedious, but you and Yara fight through everybody. Turns out Lev's mother was killed by them in accident. Okay. There's some horses here. Not as good for Dead Redemption 2, though, the horses in this game. Then a giant dude. I don't know, he looks kind of like Kronos, but a human, and buff. I don't know, it's hard to explain, he just comes out of nowhere somehow, and he kills Yara, and then he fights Abby. and you kill him brutally. But remember, he had people cared about him. So, I guess, just like everyone, one of them could come after Abby. Yeah, they were kind of, I mean, okay. This forced morality, everybody's gray, plus the commentary they want to do, plus the combat style is not fully working for me. But Abby and Lev grow back. Then Abby sees the corpse of Alice the dog. More emotional manipulation. Yes, they may kill a dog. This could be a jumping off point for some people. I'm bored by this time. But then we finally get back to where we were. And now we're back to Abby and Ellie. Abby shoots Tommy in the back of the head. He does live this. And Ellie runs away. And then you fight Ellie. Okay. So, the fight's pretty brutal, but short. Abby wins until Dinah intervenes, who's now pregnant. I don't know how much time is supposed to have passed, but then Abby's about to slit her throat, then Ellie calls her out as pregnant. So, Lev pleads Abby not to do this. Then Abby lets both of them go. I don't know why she doesn't just kill Ellie. But okay. And then they leave. This game could end probably right here. But we're not done yet. We fast forward for an entire year. Ellie and Dinah live outside Jackson, raising their kid. And this is a very domesticated segment. Kind of reminds me of the epilogue of Red Dead, which was much better than this, but. And then Tommy's alive, but disabled. So he tells him he tracked down Abby, basically. And he wants Ellie to finish the job because he can. So, Dinah goes off on Tommy. They reject the request. But, this is a good part. We get to see Ellie's PTSD. We get to see Ellie struggle with this decision. Whether or not to pursue revenge or let it go. And then, get another flashback to this town to see the dance and Joel. We get to see their last conversation. And then she decides to go after her. Dinah says not to, though. And I guess she says she doesn't owe her staying, so she leaves. But then we flash to Abby. Her and Lev track down the Fireflies in Santa Barbara now. And then get captured by the Rattler. Another group gets introduced at the very end of the game. The pacing of the game is odd. Apparently, they're just some thugs. But they capture them, and then we go to Ellie, who gets captured by the Rattlers also. But he manages to fight back. And this one, you kind of get to use the infected against them. This is a good scene. But then she tortures one of them again, and then kills them. But remember, they had people who cared about them. Then they make a very wounded Ellie go on a one-person mission to clear out all the Rattlers. Okay. Then Ellie frees some prisoners and they go on a rebellion. Then you go to the pillars. Apparently, you find Abby apparently crucified. So you cut her down. You free Lev. And then there's a chance to go your separate ways. So Ellie decides to force the fight. And then you fight Abby for the final time. Ellie loses two fingers. And then she's about to kill Abby. And gets a flashback to Joel. And then lets her live. And tells her and Lev to go. And then she goes back to Jackson. Only to find everyone's gone. Except her journal and the guitar. And then we get her trying to play Future Days. Only she can't fully play it because two fingers are missing. Remember? Feel bad. Then Ellie leaves the guitar behind and walks somewhere. And that's the last of Stu. So, what's it about? It has the usual revenge is bad and hate is destructive theme, and apparently it's also about forgiveness. I'm just going to say now, games have done this better. Spec Ops The Line did this better. That game has flaws too, but Metal Gear Solid 3 did this better. Because in there, they also play with the person you think is evil. It turns out the twist reveals that no, they're not. That does make you question your actions. But I guess a unique twist this game could offer is the forgiveness aspect. Is it earned? Depends. For me, it's weird. I mean, I get why she let Abby live. That's the theme of the whole game. However, I see lots of avenues for part 3. And if we're going to follow this to its logical conclusion, shouldn't someone else's family be after Abby and or Ellie too? So that's what 3 going to be, what, killing one of them in the first 10 minutes and then doing this again? Or are they just going to leave it here? If they are going to leave it here, what was the point? The point was Last of Us made a lot of money and they need a sequel. But, otherwise, does this game need to exist? No, but overall, I will say it's fine that it exists. So, that's the end of this adventure. It sold really well. I can't imagine them going back and doing what they should do if they want to follow this theme up. So I will say, I wonder, should Ellie have died? Something to think about is her personal reason not fully done yet, so maybe not. Abby apparently has Lev, nothing else, not Owen, which I think we're supposed to not like, so I guess she got what she wanted. Well, not really, but I don't know, it feels like this revenge is hate is bad thing, kind of, only for Ellie to suffer through and not really anyone else. Which is also a weird twist. to this game. So I'm going to say, I know what Naughty Dog is trying to do. Do I think they did it well? I think they did it okay. I would just give this a 6 out of 10. I was going to rate it out of 10 as a game. So, it's fine. It's okay. It's diverting. It's not as good as Last of Us 1. Or Red Dead Redemption 1 and or 2. Or God of War. But it's not a trash fire. There's enough good in here. So, that's the end of that review. Those are all my thoughts. Anyway, just wanted to let you all know that we're also transferring over to a different style of podcast. So, this time you'll probably see us on Facebook or YouTube instead of here. And I may pop back in here to review something if I want to talk about. This game has been compared to Batman vs. Superman and The Last Jedi. Two things I never want to talk about again, but I will, if you ask. My opinions on those two things have changed a lot since I saw them the first time. But it's too toxic to talk about it on the internet, so I'd rather just do it here. Anyway. Going to be all, so good luck, goodbye, and stay safe out there. Thank you.